Consider Michael Olson's second law of the food chain. The farther we go from the source of our food, the less control we have over what's in that food. It follows that to get the most control of our food, we must obtain it directly from its source. This leads us to ask, what must we do to develop a certified farmer's market?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 728th edition of the Food Chain right here in News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Port Villa who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Dave Michaels back at the boards. Dave, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Well, folks, have you heard about the news? Watermelon in fields across eastern China have been exploding like landmines as a consequence of farmers applying too much chlorpheniral. Now, how the hell is that stuff anyway? Well, it's a growth accelerator. But wait, there's more. The heavy metal cadmium has been found in Chinese rice. Melamine, so toxic it kills children, has been found in Chinese milk. Arsenic in the soy sauce, bleach in mushrooms, mercury in garlic, red dye in peppers, birth control chemicals in cucumbers, and borax in pork. That, of course, to make it resemble beef. In China, fertilizer and agricultural chemicals are subsidized by the state, so farmers are free to pour them on in order to produce cheap food. Who or what will protect us from this cheap food ethic? In fact, the farther we go from the source of our food, the less control we have over what's in our food. If we are eating food grown thousands of miles away, we have very little control over what's in that food. And ladies and gentlemen, China is thousands of miles away. It follows that to ensure our food is worthy of being consumed, we should, as a community, establish and maintain markets that will allow us to obtain food directly from the farmers who produce it. Food with its farmers' face on it. And so today we pause to ask, what must we do to develop a certified farmer's market? Here to help us build a market, we have Catherine Barr, General Manager of Monterey-based Certified Farmer's Markets. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Michael, for having me.
Always a pleasure. We're broadcasting today from the farmer's market in Aptos, California. Got to tell you, this is my home market for the last 728 Saturdays when I do the food chain. I often, after the show, come to the market and get enough food to have myself a wonderful breakfast, meet a lot of smiling people, you can store up on food for the week. But I have come to think of this as my market because I patronize it a lot, but mostly because I own it. These are my farmers.
Yes, they are.
I own it. It's a wonderful feeling to have your own farmer's market, and this one is mine. But it's not the only one. There are farmer's markets all over the place now, Catherine.
When I started working for this organization about 18 years ago, there's about 400 certified farmer's markets in the state of California. Now there's over 750, and it's still growing. So, you know, I don't even know how many are in the United States, all over the states.
And this, we're talking certified farmers'
markets.
That is
correct.
Farmers' markets in general, like, there must be a billion of them.
Oh, yes. You know, I think people think that farmers' markets are kind of new. You know, they've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Forever. And I think we got out of the habit of going to farmers' markets when the grocery stores... You know, it's convenient to go to a grocery store and get everything you want. But like you said in your opening, where is that food coming from?
Exactly.
You know, is it coming from China? Some of it is.
Some of it is.
Some of it's coming from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's coming from, you know, South America, Chile. So it's our job here at the farmers market to have people eat locally and seasonally.
And that's what's fun.
Yeah.
You know, I just came back from the South Pacific. I was in Fiji for a while and in Vanuatu.
Stinker.
And what was interesting to me was not going into the tourist stores, but
mm-hmm.
going to the farmers markets and seeing exactly what's being produced there and meeting the people and seeing the look in their eyes.
And you're seeing the locals buying there. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Aptos Farmers Market, hey, kid, this is one of Sunset Magazine's top 10 markets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the United
mm-hmm.
States.
We're celebrating our 35th anniversary this year. Can you believe it? We've been here for 35 years.
So if we're going to ask somebody how to build a good certified farmer's market, Catherine Barr is the one to ask.
Thank you.
So first, certified. What the heck do we mean by certified?
People can confuse that with certified organic versus certified farmer's market. Certified farmer's markets here in California, we have rules and regulations that we follow from the state, and it's basically direct marketing rules and regulations. And certified is we have the ag inspector will go out to that farm. They usually go twice a year, sometimes more. And they will certify that stuff that this farmer is bringing, the commodities this farmer is bringing to the market, is grown on that property. So you know that when you come to a certified farmer's market, the farmer or that employee that is standing behind that table and all that produce that's in front of him is from California.
So it's kind of like certified organic. It's just certified real.
Yeah, certified real. That's right. That's right.
Now, Los Angeles, I hear where farmers markets in Los Angeles have been caught selling food from Mexico. You knew that was coming.
Yeah,
right?
I knew that was coming, and I'm glad you brought that up. What I saw, and I'm sorry I don't have the YouTube video to tell you where to go to see it. I've seen it several times, and when I first saw it, I was very embarrassed because it's like, this is, you're talking farmers markets here. You know, why is this produce coming out of Mexico? And then I kind of went, well, you know what? This is actually a good thing because it was a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a wake-up call for all market managers here in California to really kind of be on that front line and say, okay, you know, we really need to look at our industry and we really need to bring back that integrity of what farmers markets were for.
Is it easy to cheat?
Very. As you know, because we've talked about this before, I've had to turn in some farmers here in our organization. And it's sad. It really is sad. But farmers markets are a big business. You know, we're governed a lot by the weather. And, of course, as you know, here in California, like in all places in the United States, the weather plays a huge issue in farming. And it's not been a good year. So,
although today is perfect.
Oh, today is perfect. You know, this is why we live in California, because of days like this.
Take that, all you folks who live across the country.
Yeah.
And how do you so as a market manager, you're the one that's responsible for maintaining the integrity
absolutely.
Of that certified word, right?
Absolutely. You know, again, you know, certified markers were thought up, again, we've been around for a long time, but to really brought them back in the 70s, it was for that small California farmer to come and sell direct to the consumer that they may not, you know, maybe 2 acres or 5 acres, 10 acres, that they really could not compete with the big boys in wholesale markets. So, you know, we really are the face of farmers here in California. And
So when a consumer sees the word certified, that means something.
Absolutely.
Value.
Then. Absolutely. And I think sometimes, with other organizations, we kind of get out of that box and say, okay, we need to really kind of fill up this farmer's market, so let's go ahead and fill it up with whatever. And that's wrong. I mean, as you know, I'm really an advocate of trying to get the integrity back into farmers markets.
Well, and that's the value of coming here.
I mean,
when somebody says certified, that means that the food being sold here is being sold by the people who grew the food.
Exactly.
And thus, when we, those of us who are consumers of food, looking to get control of our food, you know, we can come to a certified farmer's market. We can look into the farmer's eye and really see what's in the food.
Yes. Yeah, because they'll tell you. You know, it's interesting because when you do go to a supermarket, you know, now they are beginning to label where the food is coming from.
Right.
And so when somebody, like a customer here at the market will come in January and says, well, where are the peaches? I says, well, honey, we don't grow peaches, you know, during January here in California. You know, we it's our job to basically train our customers to not only eat locally in California, of course, because we're in California, but to eat seasonally. You know, we're here to give you information on how to do that.
You know, I know it seems strange, but I love coming to the market in the winter when the rain's falling and everybody looks grumpy.
And we're still here. Are we crazy or what?
We're still here. But what I like is the fact that you can get the root vegetables and the winter vegetables.
Comfort food.
Comfort food.
Yeah.
And you take it home and you throw it in a big pot and you make this wonderful soup that lasts for a week. Boy, it's a good feeling to know that that food just came straight out of the ground.
Yeah, because it'll still have dirt on it, you know? That's how you know. That's how you know it's fresh.
That's how you know it's fresh. So, Sunset, one of the top 10 markets in the United States, how did you get that?
Good question.
Who'd you buy off of
that? Really. You know, I think people, you know, we're always kind of compared to the Ferry Plaza Market up in San Francisco, Santa Monica. You know, we're here on the Central Coast, and I think...
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I heard the little music.
That's the music signaling that we're coming up to a break.
Yeah. I think our customers loaded for us for that.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, great.
It's always about the customers.
It sure is.
Folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today, we're broadcasting live from the Monterey Bay Certified Farmers Markets in Aptos, California. We're talking about what it takes to build a certified farmers market so you and I can get control of what we eat. Do stay tuned. We will be right back with Catherine Barr.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back out there. Michael Olson here. Today we are broadcasting live from the Certified Farmers Market, Monterey Bay Certified Farmers Market, Aptos, California. With us today on the Food Chain, Catherine Barr, manager of the market. How many markets do you manage?
Four. There's four in this organization.
How many farmers do you manage?
80. 80 farm families.
80 farm families.
Yep. All over California.
And from in four different markets.
Mm-hmm.
And so how many certified farmers markets now in the organization in California alone?
About 750 and growing every day.
Okay, so talking about growing every day, let's talk about what we consumers can do to start a farmers market. I mean, what does it take to actually begin when there seem to be springing up all over the country?
Mm-hmm.
Even in my hometown of Billings, Montana, it started a farmer's market in downtown, and it's just blossomed.
Yeah.
And it brings people back to town.
Right.
It brings people together for their food. What a wonderful thing. So how do we start one? First of all, I guess there's the audience. We need to find the right kind of people that would patronize.
Yes, that's true. And I think in the 18 years that I've been here, we have really seen a different clientele. You know, we used to see a lot of the senior citizens and things like that, but now we're seeing a lot more families with young kids. They're bringing those kids to the market so they can go ahead and pick out their own, you know, food.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fantastic.
So it's kind of training.
It is, training the next generation.
Training the next generation.
Yep.
And, so I guess, you know, in media we always talk about our audience profile, and we measure it in two different ways. One is a quantitative profile, which you just talked about, essentially, families with kids, and you look around and you see a lot of them. You see a lot of senior citizens as well, but it seems to be people of all ages. What about income type?
It's all over the board. I think what we are seeing, though, especially this year and last year, we are seeing a different pattern as far as people buying things at a farmer's market. You know, you used to see people with bags, you know, with 10, 20 pounds of peaches. Now it's more like they're buying 5 or 6 for the week.
For the week?
Yeah, and then they'll go ahead and maybe next week they'll buy some more for the following week. So the volume isn't there. I have noticed that a lot of our flower people, our flower vendors or our plant vendors, you know, have been really hurt during this kind of
we're talking about a major economic downturn here.
Because, you know, again, flowers are a nicety, not a necessity. So, you know, it's kind of like, oh, you know, if I have a little extra money, then I'll go ahead and
Sure I quite go along with
I know.
That.
I buy flowers every single week. I got to have them.
Yeah.
I got to have them.
I love having flowers.
Yeah. But, you know, people are needing to feed their families.
Mm-hmm. Now, with respect to that, what about in the poorer sections of town, around the country?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see farmers markets being able to survive in the poorer neighborhoods?
Yeah, they do. You know, we belong to, it's called the WIC program, Women with Infants and Children, and they are given, you know, like checks, mm-hmm. and they come and they can spend that here at the farmers market. They also have the EBT program, which is food stamps,
mm-hmm.
And you can come and go to markets, and so these are springing up all over urban areas, etc. You know, so, you know, we need to make sure that people in the United States has access to good food.
Amen to that.
Uh-huh.
I think it's especially important in the food deserts that you often find in inner cities.
Sure,
you know,
that's right.
They call them food deserts because you can't get any real food there.
Right.
You can get packaged stuff that contains lots of...
Icky stuff.
But getting really food, food is hard to find. What about some of the legal barriers to establishing a market? I mean, right here we're at a community college, mm-hmm. in a parking lot.
You know, again, people think, okay, location. It's, you know, people will take the bus here or they drive. You know, I mean, we're not really convenient to anything else.
No, you're not. It's like a destination resort.
It is. I mean, exactly. You know, you're here, but, you know, we're a community within our community. You know, I grew up around this area, so I see people I went to grade school with, and I won't tell you what year that was. But it's, you know, it's really kind of nice to see them coming out, you know, in droves here to the market. So, again, location is a big thing. Parking is a good thing. And, of course, you really have to have those really great farmers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what makes it.
So do you have to overcome any bureaucracy? I mean, just walk into a community college and say,
no.
I'm camping out here. What do you have to do?
There's, of course, liability insurance, number one big thing. We have to be licensed by the state. So we have to get a permit from our county agricultural department to hold a market in the first place. Health permits. A lot of the, you know, as far as our organization is concerned, we want to make sure that, you know, for land leases and things like that, that's all kind of above board. You know, so we know that this farmer has, you know, correct access to the land that they're using. Because sometimes that's happened in the past where it has not, and it's been an ugly scene.
Well, you know, the United States is adopting some new food safety regulations that are going to have a big impact on the availability of food. And, boy, you can walk around here and there's food everywhere.
Right.
Is that going to have an impact on you?
We hope not, you know, because we're small farmers. And, you know, sometimes we feel like we're kind of being nickel and dimed to death, you know. I mean,
sure.
You know, let's take it out on the farmer. I don't know. We're really going to have to see. I met with the secretary, the new secretary of agriculture, on Thursday, Karen Ross, and she really is pretty much on the ball. So we'll have to see what she has to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially about our industry.
Somebody to watch. Or it's easy to use those regulations to get rid of competition.
Yeah, yeah.
And I often think that's the principal purpose of them is.
You know, I don't really care if there's a farmer's market on every corner. Just do it right.
Yeah.
You know, just make sure that it's above board, that you are following all the rules and regulations that you need to do. And, you know, because you're fooling around with somebody's livelihood. And if you don't do it correctly.
Well, not just their livelihood, but every market's livelihood.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You know, we have a couple that are kind of, you know, I want to say just kind of on the verge, on the edge. And what it is they're for-profit. You know, we are a nonprofit organization, and so they're a for-profit. So they will go ahead and bring as many other vendors in as they can. And you know, Michael, here at this market, we have a percentage of non-farmers in at a time. 15% of our membership is for non-farmers, which are like bakery people and fish people.
Sure.
But they have to make sure that they are the fishermen, or they are the bakers, or they are the, you know.
So they're certified real, too, then. So,
yeah, exactly. You know, and it kind of rounds out our market. But, you know, we are a farmer's market, not a food court. You know, we want people to take their food home and make their own food. You know, make their own, you know, menus.
Well, it seems like some of the municipalities around the country are becoming increasingly aware of the importance of farmers market to the citizenry. And I'm thinking specifically of San Francisco, of all places, that just passed an urban agriculture law that said it's all right to grow food here in this town. What an amazing concept.
I know, isn't it?
And yet, and I think a lot of that is coming from the ground up, or from the consumer up.
Yeah.
This is a...
Again, people are very curious of where their food is coming from. I mean, you know, you hear all the horror stories, you know, and I always comment, you know, China never has to bomb us. They just got to feed us.
Yeah,
you know?
You
know, again, you need to really be aware of what you're eating and where it's coming from.
So do you have trouble when you're looking for a place to set up a market? Do you have trouble finding places?
Yeah, you do.
You do?
Yeah, you do. We get approached all the time to start new markets, and it's, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, we got a big parking lot. You know, okay, it's great, but, you know, once you put some farmers there, then you have no parking. And that just, you know, people aren't going to come if it's not convenient for them to get there.
So not only do you need parking, but you need parking.
You need parking, yeah.
You need parking for your vendors, you need parking for your customers.
Yep. Yeah.
And you need electricity.
Not so much.
We're all
self-contained.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you know, we pack our own trash. You know, we try.
What about restrooms?
Restrooms. We always have restrooms. You know, the little, nice little green offices, as we call them. But here at the campus, you know, they do open the bathrooms for us, which is really nice.
Okay.
So.
And it's nice to be able to work with a local community college.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. It's kind of a win-win situation. They have a lot of their groups coming in, and you know, we give them space, you know, to get the word out to the community that something's happening. So,
well, we're gonna have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to get to the real fun part, which is farmers.
Yeah,
how do you manage farmers? How can anybody manage a farmer?
It's like herding cats.
Herding cats, folks. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here with Catherine Barr, General Manager of the Monterey Bay Certified Farmers Markets. We're coming to you live today from the farmers market in Aptos, California, one of the nation's 10 best farmers markets. And my market, I own it. I've been patronizing it for 728 Saturdays. We will be right back, and we're going to be talking about farmers. How on earth do you manage farmers? Right back. Well, hello out there. Welcome back. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here on a beautiful Saturday from Aptos, California. We're broadcasting the Food Chain radio program live from the Aptos Community Farmers, or the Monterey Bay Certified Farmers Market in Aptos, one of the nation's 10 best markets. And to me, what makes it best is three things, actually. One, I can get food here, and I can look into the farmer's eyes and know that that farmer was the person who actually produced the food. And that, to me, is extremely important, because I can see in the farmer's eyes what's in the food. The other thing, of course, that is important to me is that if I patronize these farmers, they will live to grow food another day. And who knows, it may come to the point that those big trucks and those big ships that bring food to us from far, far away might not show up one day. And if that's the case, I'm wanting these farmers to be here farming food for us. And the other thing that's so important to me is the people involved in the markets. The farmers, the customers, to me, it's always just a joy to shop at a market, because it's so much more than the food. It's the whole package. And I guess that's what we're going to go now with Catherine Barr. Catherine, what the heck does it take to put all of this together? My goodness. You got people, you got farmers, you got products. Let's start with a product mix.
Basically, we do have, in our organization, we do have something that's called commodity control. And it's, you know, as long as there's not a monopoly. And what we consider a monopoly is somebody who just says, you know, say, let's just go for tomatoes, because everybody knows that. You know, as long as there's several people with tomatoes, then, you know we have kind of a good mix. And I look at the end of the market to make sure that we have tomatoes all the way through that market. So that customer or that shopper who's coming really late will have an opportunity to buy those. We have, this has happened before, and this is why we have kind of a commodity control. So here's Michael, and you're growing tomatoes, and you've had a fabulous year. And so your vendors on either side, you go, who are flower growers, go, well, you know, I think I'm going to go ahead and grow tomatoes for next year, too. So instead of growing flowers, they now grow tomatoes. So
Everybody's growing tomatoes,
and nobody's growing flowers. So, you know, we have a really good mix, and we have, in our commodity mix, we have either organic or conventional. And we consider those two different commodities. And it's up to the consumer. We'll either buy one or the other. We leave it up to them.
So you're in charge of the products.
Yeah.
You have to figure it out. Do you do this by yourself, or do you have somebody to... Do you have a board of supervisors?
We have a board. There's either 9 to 11 members, and they're all members of this organization. And when we do have a board meeting, we make sure that, you know, you're here for the good of everyone, not just for yourself.
So if you're on the board, you're on the board for the market not for your farm.
Exactly.
So then... The board has some say about the product mix itself. Then,
right? You know, you'll go to some markets, and whatever you have on what we call the producer certificate, which tells people exactly where your farm is and what you're growing and what your season is. You can just bring whatever you have on your producer certificate. Well, again, this is, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, tomato farmer is doing well enough that he is coming back, because we want you to be successful. You know, that's the whole thing.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
We want everybody to be successful. Farmers. So you have products. You want to make sure you get as many products as possible. But you have to find the right farmers.
Yes. Yeah. With that, basically what we will do is farmers will do an application. And I will tell you, we do have a waiting list to get in, because I only have so much room, you know, here at the college. And we take it for a vote as far as with the board. You know, if we need another strawberry person, we'll go through all the strawberry applications and get somebody here. We put them on a probational period to make sure that they do get along with everyone. Because, again, you need to have people on either side of you wanting to be here, number one, doing a good job as far as growing, and because it just makes for a better market, and it makes for a calm market. When I started here 18 years ago, my very first day, I had a lot of these farmers coming up saying, well, he's 2 inches over into my space.
Right.
Okay, we're talking 2 inches here. And it was just kind of like, you got to be kidding me. You know, with all the other stuff going on in the world, and you're worried about this 2 inches? Oh, come on. So
good fences, good neighbors.
Exactly. And so, again, I had to remind them, you know, without this vendor next to you, we don't have a farmer's market. We all need to work together for the common goal, for the common people. You know?
So I get an email. Please ask Catherine why real local farmers aren't present at her farmer's market. I've been on her waiting list for 10 years, and I can't get into the market.
Yes. Well, that's not really a long time to be on the waiting list, number one. But, again, you know, certified farmers markets are for all California farmers. I don't check addresses at the county border here.
Okay.
We, in our organization, we have approximately 75% of our farmers are local, which we mean the Tri-County area, which is Monterey County, Santa Cruz County.
And some of them you bring in from the Central Valley.
Yeah.
And isn't that important, too, to keep your mix, your product mix?
That's probably number one. For instance, we have cherries from, cherries right now, it's cherry season. And we have those coming from Linden, the Stockton area, the Valley area, and they always come in first. And then we'll have the Hollister farmers who are in San Benito County, which is next county over. Yeah, closer. And they usually come in probably about 4 to 5 weeks later. So we are able to extend that whole cherry season, you know, by having farmers from other areas, because we have so many different kind of climates here in California, you know, little mini climates. So, you know, it works out best for everyone.
So that's a big part of it. Now, what about the farmers that have been here a long time?
Mm-hmm.
And now, let's talk about new farmers.
Yeah.
What do you do if you're a new farmer and you want to get in? I mean, here's somebody who's been waiting 10 years and they can't get in because somebody's growing
already selling what they have.
Right. Okay. You know, I've gotten this from some of the newer growers who've asked, well, you know, he's been here for 30 years. Don't you think it's time for him to retire? You know, farmers do not retire. They just die in the field, you know. And I am not going to ask this farmer who has built his clientele, who's built this farmer's market, it's time for you to go. That's not how we work. We're a family here. And so when this farmer's ready to go, he'll tell me. And that's when I'll bring in a new farmer. With a new farmer, I think they really need to go to that market manager or go to that organization and says, what can I grow that no one else is growing to get into your market?
How can I be of service to
you? How can I be of service? Instead of growing the exact same thing I have 20 other farmers growing. You know, it doesn't work that way.
What about personalities, farmers with personalities?
Uh-huh.
It would seem like it would be really important for you to find farmers who can work the crowd.
Yeah, I've been here for such a long time. I can tell you who's going to be successful and who is not. And it's you need to be engaging. You know, we'll talk about after the break.
I'd like to pick that up because to me, that's one of the fun things about being at the market is the people.
Yeah.
Folks, this is the Food Chain, Michael Olson. Today, we're broadcasting live from the Monterey-based Certified Farmers Market in Aptos, California. We have the market manager, Catherine Barr, here. Catherine runs four markets for the Monterey-based Certified Farmers Market organization here in the Monterey Bay Area. And today we're talking about what it takes to put a real certified farmers market together. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the personality of the farmers themselves. Right back. Do stay tuned. Welcome back, folks. Welcome back to the Certified Farmers Market here in Aptos, California. Michael Olson here. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Today we're talking with market manager Catherine Barr about what it takes to establish a certified farmers market. Farmers, what kind of farmers make the best farmers market farmers?
Crazy ones.
Crazy ones.
We have a really good mix here. We have people from Italy, people from France, people from Holland. I mean, they've all come to California to grow. Isn't that, I think that's kind of interesting. We're kind of like a little mini United Nations.
United Nations, huh?
You really have to have kind of an outgoing personality. Let me just talk about one farmer that we have here, in fact, because this is like her season. Joanne from Linden. She is the cherry queen. And you'll see her, she has her tiara on, and she has usually cherry earrings. And she really engages the customer because you've got to try different cherries because they have, I think on their table today, I think they have seven different varieties.
Really?
Yeah, but, you know, some people are just kind of, a little shy. You can't be shy around Joanne. You know, she'll ask you your name, she will remember your name, and she gives you kind of a ration of garbage, you know, because that's, again, her personality,
sure.
And people come back for that, you know. Again, you really have to be engaging, and you really need to know your product, and, you know.
What about disputes?
we were just talking about this on the commercial.
The two inches.
When I started about 18 years ago, and it was my first day on the job, and I had these farmers come to me and said, he's in my space 2 inches. And I'm going, what? You know, what do you mean? You know, because, you know, everybody has like a 10 by 10. And he says, he's in my space for 2 inches. And I'm thinking to myself, you got to be kidding me. With all the stuff going on in the world, and you're worried about these 2 inches. And I kind of had to step back, and I said, he's serious. This man is serious. And I said, well, you know, okay, well, you know, we worked it out. But, you know, all these farmers need to remember that you need to have the guy next to you in order to have a successful farmer's market. You really need to get along with your neighbor. And I'll tell you, Michael, now, you know, somebody forgets their table. We always have an extra table or a tent, or maybe the batteries have gone out on the scale. We're here to help each other. So again, we're our own little community, which is great. I mean,
and that's part of being in the mix, right?
Yeah, it took a while to do that, but you know, I'm luckier than most market managers because I do have the same farmers that come back. You know, they're like family.
So earlier you were talking about cheating, and catching some farmers cheating.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough, you know, because I've had to turn in some of my farmers who I thought were, number one, kind of friends, You know, yeah. But again, they are ruining the integrity of what farmers markets were for. And I'll tell you this one. This happened probably about 10 years ago. And it was a melon farmer. And I kind of went, hey, how you doing, blah, blah. And I kind of looked at his table, and I looked at some of his melons, and they had Del Monte stickers on them. And I'm going, what? So I took a picture of it, and I said, well, I didn't know you grew for Del Monte. You know, maybe, you know, he says, well, I don't. And I kind of went, oh, my gosh. Well, it was interesting because that day I also had an agricultural inspector coming because we're inspected here twice. She looks at certificate. She looks at the product and just makes sure that this is all in the up and up. And she came that day, and he was fined $400, and he was given a warning from us that, you know, next time he's out. And next year he did retire. And he said, I was just trying, you know, I didn't have enough product to bring. I said, well, then if you don't have enough product to bring, it's okay. You know, you know, you can wait a week or you wait 2 weeks. It's not, you know. And again, I was really sad. I mean, it was really disappointing to me that this person did that.
So have you ever had to fire anybody, fire a farmer?
Yes. Yeah. Again, this we learn by our mistakes. You know,
sure,
I mean,
sure.
That is so true.
We're telling people how to do this. You know, they're going to be faced with the same thing that you faced.
Yeah, call me. I'll tell you. Basically, what we'll do if we have a new vendor come in, and we've had new vendors come in off of our very long waiting list, we give them a letter telling exactly what they can bring, what markets they can go to, and they're on a probational period. So we just see how their personality is, how they react with other farmers, how they react with customers. And then, you know, after that probational period, it could be 3 months, it could be 6 months, and then we'll say, yeah, you know, please join us because you are a good mix for our farmers market.
What about a bad mix? What about somebody that you had to throw out? Did you ever have to throw somebody out?
Yes, because again, cheating.
Cheating.
And they fought it, and so we said, okay, well, let's get the ag commissioner involved here. We did have to get an attorney because we wanted to make sure that it was proper and up and up, and we were following our rules and regulations and the state rules and regulations, and we did, and we had asked him to leave, and he went and started his own farmers market.
No, really?
Yeah. Not very successful. But
not very successful.
Yeah. And that's okay, but again, you know, it is what it is, right?
Yeah, and it is, but that's part of it.
That is part of it.
The most important part for a market is, I guess, to have somebody who can manage the product mix, the people, manage the disputes, because you got to have disputes.
You do have drama. I told you, I'm writing books about this. I remember my first day here, and it was at the Aptos Market, and I came home after 4 hours, 5 hours, and I said to my husband, I said, what have I gotten myself into? I had to take a nap. I mean, it was just like a little overwhelming at first. But then, you know, slowly but surely, you know, you get to trust not only the farmers, but people who work here. And that's a really great thing.
And you got to trust that things are going to actually work.
Exactly, yeah.
Even though not according to plan, but they'll work.
Always have plan B.
All right, folks, Michael Olson here. This is The Food Chain. So much to talk about, so little time to talk about it. When we come back, I'm going to ask Catherine what to do to start a market. Do stay tuned. Well, welcome back to an absolutely beautiful day at the Monterey Bay Certified Farmers Market in Aptos, California. We're here with on the Food Chain Radio Show with Catherine Barr. Got a couple minutes left. Catherine, we talked earlier about all the kids, all the children that are here. It's
the next generation coming up.
Yeah, just looking around, you see children everywhere around here. And people of all ages, but it's so good to see the kids, you know, tuning into food and where it comes from and the people who grow it. What does it take? Let's talk. We have a couple minutes left.
Sure.
Let's give a quick thumbnail. How do we start a market? What do we do?
First of all, I think you need to make sure that whatever community that you're going to be putting this in, that they want one, number one. That'd be great. Also, check with farmers to see if they can come, and if they can't come, ask if they know somebody else who can. It takes approximately 3 to 5 years
to get one going,
to market, to really pop. because you need to get people to come and it become a habit, you know, as far as, you know, coming to the market and shopping.
Like I have a habit.
Yeah, exactly. Every Saturday you're here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for some of those farmers who can't get into farmers markets now, you know, you need to pay your dues. You know, you need to make sure that you're there for that 3 to 5 years. You know, a lot of us here who started this market, and they're still here, you know, there was times where they wanted to close it because there was nobody here.
Nobody here.
Yeah, and again, you need to make sure that the community wants it, that you have farmers that are willing to stick it out with you. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, just run it ethically,
and
you know. Yeah.
Like we talked about earlier, this is not an obvious location.
No.
If you don't know that it's here, you would never know it.
No.
You would never know.
And again,
it
took us years and years mm-hmm. to get the people to come here. So
simply because it was hard to find.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Now it's here,
yeah.
And people know about
yeah.
it. So what else important?
Make sure that you have all your permits. Make sure you know your rules and regulations. You know, again, you know, you're dealing with somebody's livelihood. So make sure you do a good job. Mm-hmm. I can't stress that enough.
You know, you talk a lot about the ethics of it.
Yeah.
In opening this program, we talked about the ethics of cheap food.
Yeah.
And about how, for in China, for example, the government is subsidizing chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
So farmers are free to put on as much chemicals as they can
right.
in order to grow cheap food. But that's frightening to me, that cheap food ethic.
You know, when talking to the Secretary of Ag here for California, you know, she's going to have to cut her budget next year by $30 million. That's a lot, you know, across all different kinds of, you know, food-related products, you know, health, safety, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, we're on the front lines here. You know, we need to make sure that we are in compliance and we are doing the best job we can.
So we're just about out of time. What do you want to tell people out there in the world who are thinking about starting a certified farmers market?
Go ahead. You know, go ahead. I would love to see it. You know, we need to keep these farmers going.
Amen. Amen. Let's keep the farmers going. Thank you, Catherine Barr, General Manager of the Monterey Bay Area Certified Farmers Markets. So thank you all for tuning in out there. I got a question. What about it? Do you have your own farmers market? I own this one.
Do you?
Do you own a market? Me as well. Best thing in the world to own. Thank you all for joining us today. You can hear a recording of this broadcast and join the discussion on the forums at metrofarm.com. See you all next week for more What's Eating What Radio right here on the Food Chain. And remember, cheap food isn't. Thank you.
Listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.